Celebrate Christmas at New Hope Oahu. Join New Hope Music, the New Hope Chorale, and Senior Pastor John Tilton on Thursday, December 22nd at 7 p.m., Friday, December 23rd at 5 and 7 p.m., and Saturday, December 24th at 5 and 7 p.m. Live Japanese, Chinese, and American Sign Language translations will be available at select services. Experience exuberant joy, overwhelming peace, and unconditional love this Christmas at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.
God would think, oh man, that's not enough time for Wayne to do everything I asked him to do. Then we would have like 37 hours a day or 34 hours a day. And people would say, what time is it? Oh, it's 18 o'clock. No. You see, God's 24 hours. That's what you have. And so when people say, well, I don't have time. No, you have time. It's just being stolen somewhere.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope. Today, we're going to be sharing a message that Pastor Wayne gave back before Christmas, a message entitled, The Most Unlikely Gift, Margins. Now, what is it about margins, you may be asking? What's that all about? Think about it this way. How would it be if you tried to read a book where the print ran all the way to the edge of the page? There were no margins. It would be hard to read, wouldn't it? Hard to follow. We need margins in our life. Here is Pastor Wayne Cordero with the message, The Most Unlikely Gift, Margins.
Would you take out your notes with me as we speak about something that we need to catch today? It's important. Statistically speaking, they say the average American household in December will spend $816 on Christmas gifts each year. $816. If you multiply all of that out, averages $75 to $90 billion spent every Christmas. You want to know why Christmas is so popular in America? Nearly $90 billion. And now toys, the classic toys, Care Bears and Barbie dolls, they're kind of taking a second seat now because they only brought in a mere $20 billion last year, down. Well, what are the ones taking their place? What are the gifts that are at the top of the list? Well, it's all of the digital stuff now, techie stuff. So no longer is it deck the halls, it's tech the halls with Boughs of Holly. And the top gift, MP3 player, like an iPod. That's number one on the gift list. And the second, cell phones. You've got cell phones now that you open it up, it has video, text messaging, cleans your toilet, shines your shoes, everything. Amazing. In the last quarter in the United States of America, they sold, just upgrading phones, 31 million. It's just amazing, the tech boom that's happening in America. Third are computer games like Microsoft's Xbox, and then DVDs and PCs. Now, I remember when I was a kid, my dad would just give us 20 bucks each and say, buy gifts, you know, that was it. And so I do the same, because my dad did it. I just tell my kids, hey, go buy gifts for your friends, your family, your brothers, your sister, here, and give them 10 bucks. And so just, anywhere you want to spend it, go for it. They say, what about you, Dad? We want to buy something for you. I don't need anything. No, Dad, we want to buy something for you. Okay, get me something little. I give them $200, you know. Just something little. But my wife is a little different. For her, it's Christmas all year long. This is a true story. She just goes to Ross's, buys a dress, comes home, tries it on, says, honey, look what you bought me. My son Aaron just goes into my closet, helps himself, and he's going out the door with all my clothes. I said, whoa. He said, Dad, look what I found. I said, you didn't find nothing. You stole that. That's what you did. Reminds me of the story of this Bible college kid going to propose to the daughter of this hopefully future father-in-law. And so he goes to ask for her hand in marriage. And so the father's kind of a pake guy. And he says, you want to marry my daughter? Yes. And the Bible college student, he says, and what are your plans for your vocation or career? Oh, he says, I want to be a Bible scholar. Mm-hmm. And he said, and how are you going to provide a house for my daughter? He said, well, I will study and God will provide. And how will you buy a nice engagement ring for my daughter? He said, well, I will be faithful and God will provide. And children, which will become one day my grandchildren, how are you going to support them? I will serve God and God will provide. And the conversation continues with this idealist continuing to insist that God would provide. So later this man's wife comes in and says, honey, how did it go? And the husband says, well, I found that he has no plans, he has no job, and he thinks that I am God. That's how it goes, you know. Well, today I want to talk about an unusual gift that is for you to invest. Oh, not keep, not in some way consume, but to invest. It's a gift that's very unusual. Now, let me start with a story to kind of give you some context. Now, the Holy Spirit, by the way, will be your best coach. He'll be your financial advisor. He will give you wisdom as to family matters and how to resolve problems. He will mentor you. He would be your counselor. He will do everything he can to help you. And the most basic and applicable ways, like things about home matters, financial matters. And I remember just about 9-10 years ago, I don't know where it was. I think it was sitting in some service and someone said something about savings. And if you don't have savings, then when opportunities come up to save, you won't have anything with which to invest in order to save or invest at all. And at that time, I was living from paycheck to paycheck, and I had zero savings, nada. And everything I got, I consumed. And by the way, that's one of the definitions of greed. Greed is consuming everything you receive on yourself. And so that's how I was living. And when I heard this, it was like, although it was being said to some other people, it's like the Holy Spirit grabbed it and said, that's a word for you, Wayne. And it was so poignant, it was so powerful that I actually knew I had to do something drastic immediately. And I actually went to our accountant and I said to this person, I said, I need you to cut my salary back 40% and take 40% and put it in an account. And that's going to be my savings. I don't know how I'm going to live on this, but I'm going to figure it out. If I have to move, I have to cut stuff down. I don't know, sell one of my children. I'm going to do it. I got to get back to this because I know God is saying to do this. I started selling a bunch of my stuff that I had just laying around, put it all in the savings, cut my budget way back, and began to learn to live on less. And so I had to do it. Because I just knew it was God speaking to me. And you know, 2.5 years later, and some of you might remember about 8 years ago, the market here in Hawaii just hit rock bottom. And people that had purchased condos and apartments here, their apartment was now worth half that. And so they were making payments on a condo of $300,000, and people were buying them for $100,000 now, the next door. And so a lot of these people just foreclosed. They just walked, said, what are we doing paying on this when I can go next door and buy one for a third the price? And so tons of foreclosures happened. I got a call and a friend of mine said, man, you can get these for like dirt cheap. And I had been saving. And I picked up three of those things and just for the down payment, and then I rented them out. And so it was very little. But I had enough to take advantage of that opportunity that was coming by. And some of you know everything went kaboom through the roof. Two of them quadrupled in price and one of them tripled in price. And I looked at that and I thought, man, if I hadn't have heard the Holy Spirit say back here, save, the opportunity would have gone and never catch it again. It'll be gone. Now, this is not a message on real estate investment, but it is. It is on investing in something far more eternal that will bring you even greater dividends, not triple or quadruple. It'll bring you 3,000% increase. I'm going to talk to you about something that would be the currency of opportunities and saving for that and putting it aside. Now, that currency is time. You see, there's going to be moments that are going to be filled with life, potential. But if I can't apprehend that or have time to invest in it, if I haven't sort of saved time, which I call margins, but save, if I don't have time to invest, it'll go by, whether it be a potential friendship, a deepening of a marriage, restoring a broken relationship with a son or a daughter or a parent. If I don't have time, then that opportunity that's ripe will go and you'll never get that back because once time is gone, you can't retrieve it. It's gone. that which is a currency to purchase those opportunities and convert them into life is something called time. Now, I want us to see that, and it's actually in Ephesians 5:16. So let's read at the top of our notes, but don't read it too loud. Read it softly because it's from the Amplified version, all right? Okay, softly now. Here we go because it's Amplified. Here we go. Go. Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Would you underline making the very most of the time? And then circle, buying up each opportunity. That's what the Amplified says. So we've got to have a currency to buy this opportunity or take hold of it or lay claim so that we can take that which is just potentially there and see it increase. But if I don't have the currency with which to do it, it will pass you by and you'll never be able to retrieve it again. One man said to me, Wayne, we are poorer because of the opportunities we will have missed in our lifetime. Poorer in relationships, poorer in families, poorer in our future because of the opportunities. And what's the currency with which we take a hold of that or buy that opportunity and convert it into life? Well, it's time. But you see, most of us, well, I don't have time for this. I don't have time. Listen carefully. Opportunities are purchased with the currency of time and then converted into life. For example, just recently, Anna and I took some time because we have two daughters now living in the mainland to go there and spend a week and a half with them because I knew that I needed to spend time, spend or invest time in someone else. And it wasn't just being there. It was the laughter that we shared and the dinners and the breakfasts and talking and hugging and how are you doing and driving around with them. And so what we do is we take that which could have been an opportunity squandered to deepen a relationship, to check on, to bring a healthy accountability. We could have missed that and that potential would still be there and it would lay dormant and it'd be gone forever. And what could have been deposited never will because that was the moment to do that. And the only way you can do it is you've got to have time. But we say, well, we don't have time to do this. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to do this. And we speak about that a lot. But I want you to know that God says that I have given you 24 hours a day. Some people say, I don't have time. Now, so-and-so's got time, but I don't have time. We all have the same amount of time, 24 hours a day. And God knew that that would be enough time to do all that He's called us and assigned us to do so that we will have an abundant life. For John 10:10 says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So how are you going to do that? You can do it in 24 hours. And God created the universe so that it revolved in a 24-hour cycle. And He put everything together in the universe to rotate around this principle of 24 hours. Why? Because God knew that that was enough time to do everything that we're supposed to do. If God would think, oh man, that's not enough time for Wayne to do everything I asked him to do, then we would have like 37 hours a day or 34 hours a day. And people would say, what time is it? Oh, it's 18 o'clock. No. You see, God's 24 hours. That's what you have. And so when people say, well, I don't have time. No, you have time. It's just being stolen somewhere. And we have to find out where that is. And this isn't just about like investing. It has everything to do with every area of our life. Let's read the next scripture. Go. Spend your time and energy in training yourself for spiritual fitness. That's right. Would you write down, underline, spend your time and energy. God is saying that we need to be able to have something to spend in order to take that which is an opportunity and convert it to life. And each of us have been given 24 hours with which to do that. And God is saying, within that span, you've got the time. I don't have time. No, you have the time. Well, so-and-so has time, but I don't. No, you have. Well, how come I don't have the time? Well, you do, but something is stealing that. And you've got to find out what's stealing your time and prune that out of your life so it doesn't steal time anymore. So you say, well, how do you build it? The first thing is write it in your notes. Number one there, the little bullet, prune dead wood. It's like a tree that's got dead wood on it. You've got to prune those things if you want those remaining branches to be super fruitful. You've got to learn to prune. Now, in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 6, it uses the word repentance, which means to turn away from, cut off. And so it talks about acts or deeds that lead to death, or dead-ended deeds or actions. And so Hebrews chapter 1 says the only way you're going to move to maturity is you got to learn to prune. Let's read the scripture. Go. Go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to, yeah, you know what he's saying? Ruthlessly get rid of activities that steal time. Like what? Well, excessive television watching or excessive movie going or playing games on the computer till 2 a.m. That just steals time from you. And that'll happen again and again. The time, and that happened to me a couple weeks ago. I got up in the morning, the time that I was going to spend in devotions, I sat down, opened my computer, and brought up my email. That's a first no-no. And all of a sudden, look, whoa, there's a lot of email. Man, I better start answering these. And so I started doing my email. And before I noticed, I looked at my watch. 2 hours had passed by. Stolen. And I thought, oh, man, now I got to get to work. And so all of a sudden, no time for devotions. I do have time. It's just there's things that are going to steal it. And you've got to be real careful where it's placed in your day. And some of the things you got to ruthlessly remove. Otherwise, it'll steal time. Now, God always gives us enough time to invest in certain things that'll bring back huge amounts of reward and benefit. But the devil's going to steal that because the scripture says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. However, very next verse, but the thief comes to steal. Yeah. In order for you to not do what God has assigned you to do, John 10:10 says. So we've got to find out where it's being stolen. So then we're only left with a little bit. And then we say, we don't have any time because it's stolen here. We got to find out what those activities are and prune them. And be careful because that time was actually designated by God to invest in fields of life or areas of life that will bring back huge amounts of return. For example, a farmer will sow seed. He will have a crop of barley or wheat. When the seed comes in, it's sifted. The seed comes through the sift or the sieve and they grind it into flour. But there's some seed, the best of the seed, they keep and put it in a bag and they don't eat this seed. Even if they run out of flour, they don't eat this seed at all. You know why? Because it's not seed for eating, it's seed for planting. That's right. And if I eat this seed or I let someone steal it or it's squandered, I don't have a crop next year. I'm in trouble. I am barren. And a lot of people are letting this bag get stolen or they eat or consume it themselves in other ways. And then they wonder why my life is so barren. My family's barren. My future, there's nothing there. God is saying because I've given everybody 24 hours and there's a certain amount of time that's to be invested back in certain fields. And if you'll do it the way I tell you to and not let it get stolen, not let it get squandered, don't consume it yourself, but keep it to invest in these three fields that I'm about to talk to you about. He says this, I will give you back a return 30, 60, 100 fold. And if you think about it, 30 fold is 3,000% return. No, not triple, not quadruple, 30 times. And God is saying, that's my minimum return. If you'll learn how to take time from being stolen and invest it in three fields. And I'm going to give you these three relationship fields that are important to invest in. And one will be vertical, one will be horizontal, and one will be pivotal. And here it is. The first field of relationship to invest in is, would you write in the first line, Jesus, a vertical relationship. He gives us time to spend before him. For 1 Timothy 4:8 in the NIV says, train yourself, whom? Yourself to be godly. In other words, invest time in Christ for your own training, to hear from him, sit at his feet, enjoy his presence. It could be church, fellowship, devotions. He's saying, take some of that time and invest it in Jesus, and you'll have a 30, 60, 100-fold return. Don't let that get squandered. How many times people say, I don't have time for church. I don't have time for fellowship. You do. It's just something's been stealing it. And you're investing it in something that's giving you no return. And God is saying, I've designed that seed specifically to be planted in these fields, and I promise you 30, 60, 100 fold. And the first is a vertical relationship, your vertical relationship with Jesus Christ, to make sure that you're there. But boy, a lot of times, isn't it true? We say, I don't have time for church. I don't have time for fellowship. I don't have time for that. But I tell you, God says you do have time. Oh, I don't know if I want to go there because, you know, I don't know, it's kind of boring, you know. Not here in New Hope, but boring, you know, boring, right over my head. But you know what God is saying? If you don't take the time and invest it like you should, one word could come. One word, one phrase, one sentence. In 30 minutes, you'll hear one sentence and boom, it will change your marriage. It changes your life. It'll change something inside of you. It'll adjust something. And you'll go away saying, oh boy, that was me. God spoke to me. And it could have been 1,000 sentences spoken, but one. But if I don't invest time, because I say, well, you know, the other 999 sentences, I don't understand. But there's one. Hasn't there been times even sitting in a service and all of a sudden one thing is said? That's it. That was for me. I came here to hear that. And everything starts to change in your life from that moment on. But if I don't invest time, I don't have time, then all those opportunities, those words, those phrases that would have brought healing, a new direction, will go right by because I'm not there and I've not invested the time because I don't have time saved. It's been stolen. And that which would have brought me 30, 60, 100 fold, I invest in something else like email and I get zero return. And God is saying there's something far greater. And that's your time with Jesus. I remember once my wife and I were at a pastor's conference when I was a youth pastor, and I was not feeling good. I'd been tired for a long time, just couldn't get energy up. I'd be sleeping a lot, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And so there was an evening service, and my wife said, let's go. And I said, oh, I don't have time for this. She said, oh, come on, let's go. I said, I don't have time. I want to just sleep. She said, come on, we can do it. So finally, begrudgingly, I got dressed and we went to the service. And you know, you're sitting there at the service and they're talking, blah, blah, blah. You know, they said, boring, boring. I don't have time for this. And they kept, and then the speaker was talking about how, you know, people were kind of flustered by some spiritual darkness in the New Testament, like demon-possessed people and stuff. And then he said, there's not always people being demon-possessed, but there's people that are demon-attacked or oppressed. And he said, and one of them is a spirit of weariness. All of a sudden, my ear went boop. And he said, a spirit of weariness will attack you and clamp onto you. No, you're not possessed, but it's found a way to attack you. And it's a spiritual thing. You can sleep and you won't get refreshed because it is a weariness of your soul, not a weariness of your body. You can sleep and sleep and sleep, but the weariness of your soul will not be cured by sleep. It'll be cured by prayer and deliverance. And boy, it's like, poof. And I did not hear a thing after that. I just knew that was a word from God. And I thought, you know what? If I never had invested that time, that word would have been spoken and I would have missed it. I'd be still trying to sleep it off and never getting anywhere. And then I thought, oh man, that's for me. I said, oh God, that's for me. What do I do? And the Lord said, have your wife lay hands on you and pray for you. And then my pride came up. And my wife prayed for me. She don't pray for me. I pray for her. I'm the pastor. And the Lord said, that's your problem because your pride is starting to come up and it's keeping you away from those that can minister to you. You ask your wife after the service to lay hands on you. Oh, what is this, you know? And then, but after the service was done, I remember wrestling with that and then outside, I remember there's a cement bench here and there's some pine trees here. And I remember exactly where it was and I explained to my wife what was happening. She laid hands on me and she's so precious and prayed for me and bang, that thing was gone. I mean, I'm talking 20 years ago now, and when I was 12. And that thing has never come back again to mess with me. It was like, bang. And I looked back and I thought, you know what? If I would have just said, I don't have time, then that opportunity I would have missed, and I'd been poorer because of it. The first is to invest. God gives us time. And we let it get stolen. So whenever you catch yourself saying, oh, I don't have time for, stop and say, I do. Something's just stealing it. And I've got to prune that and readjust it because that seed is being consumed by somebody. And it's not to be consumed, it's to be invested.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled The Most Unlikely Gift, Margins, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
Celebrate Christmas at New Hope Oahu. Join New Hope Music, the New Hope Halal, and Senior Pastor John Tilton on Thursday, December 22nd at 7 p.m., Friday, December 23rd at 5 and 7 p.m., and Saturday, December 24th at 5 and 7 p.m. Live Japanese, Chinese, and American Sign Language translations will be available at select services. Experience exuberant joy, overwhelming peace, and unconditional love this Christmas at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.